Well, I come before you today excited for this message, but also anxious. I don't really get nervous speaking in front of people, and I wouldn't classify my anxiousness as nervousness. My anxiousness is because this issue that I'm going to talk about today, human trafficking, is something that is kind of, I feel, at the core of my being. Something that I care deeply about, and that I just have to share. And so I would ask that as I'm speaking, you're also praying for me, that I would have clarity. As I pray for you, that God would speak to you. The title of this is Your Stuff Has a Story, because it does. The stuff doesn't just magically appear on the store shelves. We know that, but we rarely think about it. There's a few terms I'm going to use that I want to make sure that we all understand. I'll use human trafficking and slavery, and I'll kind of jumble them up. I'll try not to do it too much, but I'm just telling you it's going to happen. They basically mean the same thing. There's a slight nuance, but it doesn't really matter for our purposes today. And two others that I'll use are ethically traded, which just means that things, goods, services are being purchased in a way where companies and producers have accountability for what they're doing. Fair trade is something that is, I know you can't see this, but I'll bring this out to the table out there later today. There's this little, what most of you will see is just this little black thing. That's the Fair Trade logo. Fair trade is a very specific sort of brand that it means that companies go through a very rigorous process. So I'll be using that as well. Those are just important terms kind of as I go through this. But slavery is something that is very predominant in our world. Can anyone name, and I'm obviously ruined one of the three, but can anyone name the top three criminal enterprises in the world right now by money? Diamonds. Diamonds would be part of some of the slavery stuff. Prostitution would also be part of the slavery stuff. Drugs, that's number one. Sex would be part of what we're talking about. So number two is, in fact, human trafficking, slavery. That involves a lot of what was just mentioned. And then tied with it, for a second, is also illegal arms trading. But when I started doing advocacy, when Jessa and I started learning about human trafficking, it was the third largest criminal enterprise in the world, by some distance. But it still holds the record for being the fastest growing. It's a $32 billion industry. $32 billion a year are changing hands in slave trading. Now, I don't use slavery lightly. At all. When I say slavery or human trafficking, I'm referring to people who, through coercion, forced addiction, threats of violence, actual violence, are in situations that they cannot get out of. There are a lot of other bad things that can happen to people, and I'm not trying to diminish that those things are bad. But I don't want you to think that in the number of people that I'm counting in slavery, that I'm trying to bump up the number. The estimates are between 21 and 40 million. The most accepted number is 27 million. That number is what the U.S. State Department uses. And right now it's probably around 30. 27 was a few years ago. When I started working in this, I was told by the national director of an organization, in 5 years, the number of people that we talk about is either going to have gone down because we did something, or it's going to go up, not because we haven't done something, but because we realized we were wrong in the first place. Human trafficking is a serious problem in our world. But what I have to tell you today is about hope. Because our stuff has a story. The things that we buy on a regular basis, the things that we encounter, have somewhere they came from. Now, I'm not going to tell you today to throw away all your stuff or to not buy new things, or even to buy all only one type of thing. But my goal for you today is that you might just have your eyes opened a little, your heart opened a little to look at your stuff. Now, this stuff I have up here, I'll lift some of it up so that some of you in the back can see it, is actually all stuff I know the story of. Not each individual item, but I know generally where they came from. And they came from good places. So this bag right here, it's called a Free Set bag. That's the name of the company. The former sex slaves in India were set free and were empowered to start a company. So they started this company making these bags, and with the profits, they rescue other girls out of slavery and employ them in something that's marketable, something that can sustain them. It's powerful stuff. This is the coffee that you drink on Sunday mornings if you drink the coffee here. It's Costco's finest. Our own Dave Belton did the research on this, and it is, in fact, ethically traded coffee. We know the story of this coffee. It smells really good up here right now. Chocolate chips. Cocoa is one of the kind of focuses of people who are involved in anti-trafficking work, because chocolate is something that pretty much everybody in the world and every culture consumes in some way. And slavery is rampant in the cocoa industry. This cocoa, this one's not from Wenatchee, but I'm told by my wife, who is the only one who will go into Fred Meyer, it's just too big for me, that there is an entire section where she can buy ethically traded cocoa in bulk. If you're looking, you look for an organic sign. Most producers who are willing to go through the process of having something be organic also are ethically treating their employees. They're not enslaving them. This soccer ball was a Christmas present last year. Soccer balls will often, they'll say hand-stitched on them. That should always scare you a little bit. Who's hand-stitching it? But this one carries the fair trade certification. I know that whoever sewed, is that a word? Whoever sewed this soccer ball was treated fairly, that they were paid. It's important to me that I know the stuff. I know the story behind my stuff. Now, there's other things I own that I don't know. I don't know where these shoes came from. Unfortunately, I do know where my cell phone came from. Your stuff has a story. My own involvement in anti-trafficking work came about because in 2008, Jessa and I were attending a pastor's conference, and she went to a class where there was a man named Boaz Johnson, and he was teaching about slavery in the cocoa industry. She came onto the class and started talking to me about it, and we made the decision, and I'm not asking anyone else to, I'm telling you what we did. We made the decision to not eat cocoa of any kind unless we know where it came from. That was a decision we made. And then a few years later, I was at a youth conference, and there was a presentation from an organization called Not For Sale. You'll see that table out in the lobby on the way out. And I was sitting there with a bunch of my high school students, and one of them said, "Hey, look at that map of all their state directors. They don't have one in New Hampshire." New Hampshire is where I lived at the time. And she was kind of elbowing me as she was doing it. "They don't have any state directors." And so Jessa and I agreed to become state directors for the Not For Sale campaign in New Hampshire. When I was in seminary, I helped the Evangelical Covenant Church, that's our denomination, write a manual on teaching churches about human trafficking. I say all that not to pump myself up, but to say God gave me a passion for this. God showed me that it's something that I have to talk about. I can't get away from it. There are times when I wish I didn't know things I know about certain products. There are people who have been mad at me because I've ruined chocolate for them. Thanks. There's good stuff out there. And the good news is you can do something about it. I talk about chocolate because there's some real success stories there. Cadbury, they make those little eggs. In the United Kingdom and Australia, people kind of went crazy and said, no, we don't want that cocoa. Cadbury eggs are fair trade in Australia and the United Kingdom. Now, the price didn't go up because they sold them all to the United States. Kit Kats, same thing happened in the UK and Australia. Our voice matters. If the church says no for something like this, imagine what could happen. Oh, what does God say about this stuff? We're going to look at a few scripture passages, and you know, I'm going to go through them pretty quick, and I'll stop on some, but I just kind of want to get a sampling of what God says about the way we treat people, whether we know them or not. Proverbs 31, 8 through 9 says, "Speak out for those who cannot speak, for the rights of all the destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." Go on to the next one. 1 John 2, "Do not love the world or anything in it. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you. Here is what people who belong to this world do. They try to satisfy what their sinful natures want to do. They long for what their sinful eyes look at. They brag about what they have and what they do. All of this comes from the world. It doesn't come from the Father. The world and its evil longings are passing away. But those who do what God wants them to do live forever." It's a message that is hard, but is also one of hope. Because we're told that we have this new life. 1 John 4, we love because God loves us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates his brother or sister, is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love a God that they have not seen. You see, it's about our brothers and sisters. It's about knowing who's around us. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Pharisees asked Jesus the question, well, who's that? And he kind of gave them this answer of, you know what? It's everybody. The whole brother-sister thing wasn't about kinship. It was about adoption. It was about being adopted into the family of God and God's desire that we all get adopted into it. Our stuff isn't going to matter in the end. And like I said, I don't think you need to go buy all new stuff or don't buy any new stuff. What I think is that we need, as the church, to keep our eyes open. I gave myself 2 minutes the other day to search Central Washington and human trafficking. 2 minutes. These are the articles I got. Most of them are just headlines, except the first one. 4 days later, there was a girl arrested for prostitution. 4 days later, the girl, 15, was arrested in a Seattle suburb of Federal Way. 15. Along with a 29-year-old man who had agreed to pay her for sex. That same day, the Seattle police detective found another advertisement for the same girl using the same photographs and contact phone number posted under a section for escorts in Wenatchee. Yakima Farms named in trafficking case. Sunnyside girl likely victim of human trafficking. Human trafficking is here in central Washington. The last three were from the Wenatchee World in the last 2 years. There was an article about from Washington State University that listed over 70 suspected and confirmed cases of human trafficking in central and western Washington. The federal government calls this a $32 billion global industry. 100 to 300,000 children in the U.S. 600 to 800,000 people going across borders. Half are children, 80% are women. This stuff's here. It's happening. But the good news is we get to do something about it. We talk about new life, and new life excites me. Because when we say that Jesus gives us new life, we see that when our eyes are open, we get a chance to do something. When Jesus said in Matthew 25, "Anything you do for the least important of these brothers of mine, you did for me," I think he might have been referencing that Proverbs verse. To keep your eyes open, because whatever you're doing for these people, you're doing for me. So what can we do? What can we do? The good news is there's a lot we can do. When you look at biblical heroes, you don't see people beginning with great power and authority. When you look at biblical heroes, you don't see people who are just like, "Oh, I've got all this money, what am I going to do with it?" No, you see people who respond, imperfect people who respond to God's call in their life. Even King David started in a field as the youngest son, the smallest one, with no right to inherit the throne. But he responded. Their responses of obedience to God's call are what make them heroes. Their response to God is what makes them heroes. Not their lives, not their perfect lives. So I encourage you to do this. Be informed. Take the time to do some research. I'm not saying don't go shopping. I'm saying look for ways that it might be possible to make a difference wherever you are. When you go home, take 10 minutes and just Google human trafficking. Take 10 minutes and read. See what you got. See if there's things that you could be purchasing differently. One of the things I forgot to lift up here, this is from Cafe Mela. This is fair trade coffee. Just coffee from a local roastery. It's not about buying more or more expensive. It's that our relationship to our stuff kind of demands that we look around and say, "What can I do?" I really believe you're going to be changed if you spend the time to look. Be informed. Take time to do some research. Be vocal. Be willing to talk about what you find. When William Wilberforce was trying to get slavery abolished in the United Kingdom, something that took him his entire life, and he died 2 days after he found out it was going to pass. But his organization focused on sugar, because sugar was a common commodity. They didn't say, "Don't buy anything. They said, you know what? Tell people who are involved in sugar production, we don't want slaves on those plantations. And it worked. It worked in sugar, and then it worked bigger. For Jessa and I said, we've chosen chocolate. We've chosen that that's going to be the thing that we take a stand on. In 2008, when we were also at that conference, later on, there's this big legislative gathering in the Covenant Church called the annual meeting. And it's where different resolutions get passed. And in 2008, there was a covenant resolution on human trafficking. It called members of the Covenant Church to a bunch of things. But one of them was to be vocal, to be active, to be informed. Three of them, not one of them. And it's something we get to do. There was a Starbucks when I was in seminary, right? Basically on campus, just across the street. And they always had fair trade coffee sitting next to the counter, but it was never on drip. And so I went in a couple times and I would ask for it, and they would say, well, we can do a pour over, but it's going to be an extra 10 minutes. And then I would say, okay, well, you know, could we get it on drip? I'd get reasons why they couldn't. So I got a few people together, three or four. I didn't go in storming, didn't go yell, didn't stop going to Starbucks. I simply, every time we went into the store, we said, do you have fair trade coffee on drip? It took 1 week. We still bought the coffee. Even in the midst of the conversation, we still said, hey, this is still a relationship, but this matters to us. It took 1 week, and they started putting fair trade on drip. Four people. If you go to your local grocery store, even if you're not buying everything or researching every product, if you see something you know is ethically traded and it's important to you, tell the store manager it's important to you. Because they care. It matters. People really do listen. It's a $32 billion industry because people care about money. And we can spend wisely. The last thing is be active. Be diligent in praying. Pray for the people who are enslaved. Pray for the people who are fighting it. Pray for legislators. Pray for the people who are inflicting this. Be willing to speak up. The man that Jessa was listening to, Boaz Johnson, that I referenced earlier, was at a youth conference about 2 years ago. And he was giving a seminar to a bunch of high school kids. And there's a room about 200. And after his talk, he's talking about slavery and the realities of it in the world. And after his talk, a girl came down to the stage, not uncommon for people to want to talk to the speaker. And there was just something about her, and Boaz was like, I got to talk to this girl. And she comes up and she says, I want you to know something. I'm adopted. This gets me every time. I'm adopted. My parents went to one of your seminars. And because of what you told them, they adopted me. I was a slave. Boaz couldn't save 27 million people, but he saved one. Be willing to act. In reality, there's a ton of ways for everyone to be involved in this fight. I'd love to have further conversation about it. Pray for these people. Be creative. Take a small step. It could be almost anything. There was a little girl named Vivian who rang the bell, the opening bell at the stock exchange when Twitter went public this week. I think it was on Thursday. The reason that this 9-year-old girl wearing a giant tutu got to ring the bell at the stock exchange is because she had heard about child labor in India and decided she was going to do something about it. So she did what little 9-year-old girls do. She set up a lemonade stand. She set up this lemonade stand outside her house and, with her parents' help, posted on Twitter that she was having a lemonade stand to help alleviate child labor in India. She made $200,000. Now, I don't think everyone's going to make $200,000 on a lemonade stand. I'm not even saying try a lemonade stand. I'm saying be willing to be creative. Be willing to try the things no one's tried. There's lots of resources out there. There's a table out front that Jessa and I will be at, mostly Jessa, where we have some books called Not For Sale. It's by the founder of the organization we worked for. I would encourage you to take one home. We recommend a donation of $10, but you know what? I want you to read this so bad that if you promise you'll read it, I'll pay your donation. And if we run out of them, because we're almost there, I'll find you another one. But be willing to do the research. It doesn't have to be that book. It's not about a book. It's about being informed. Because I know that when I read my Bible, when I read stories of Jesus healing and teaching, preaching, calling out those who thought, in the Pharisees, who thought that everything was about the rules and not about the way you live, I'm inspired by that. I'm inspired by the fact that Jesus calls people to a life that is lived to the fullest. And that involves looking outside of oneself. I can tell you that Jesus has called me to this ministry. I don't know exactly what he's calling you to do. I can promise you it's something. And Jesus has called me to tell other people. I believe in the power of the church, which is why I'm here. It's why I'm a pastor, because I believe that the church can accomplish things, mostly because that's what Jesus said it would do. I believe in the power of the church, specifically because it is Christ's body. So I leave you with this, a blessing. May Jesus use us to bring healing. May Jesus use us to bring hope. And may Jesus use us to set people free from all forms of bondage. Amen.
I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer. Say, Adam, can I have that resolution sheet?
Yep.
Just so we can pray through a few of those things. Just imagine, friends, there are about 3 billion people on the planet today that call themselves Christ followers. A few hundred that are in Columbia Grove. But there's 3 billion people on the planet that say they're Christ followers. What if all 3 billion of us said we care about this? Do you think it would stop? Overnight. So let's call out to God. Lord, we ask that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours. That as we hear stories that continue to this day of those who are in situations of oppression, of slavery, of mistreatment, Lord, we pray that you would cause our hearts to break. That we would do what the scriptures are saying, that we would care for the poor and the needy, that we would give voice to those who are voiceless. And Lord, this is a really hard issue because much of our participation in these industries is unintentional. We don't know, and you know that we don't know. But Lord, now that we know, help us to care. Lord, we thank you for those businesses and industry leaders that are seeking to do the right thing. We recognize that sometimes it is really hard to do that. So Lord, help us to care. Help us to see. Help us to say thank you to those companies that are looking to treat people well. So Lord, we ask that you would increase our awareness of global slavery. We ask that you would help us to explore the local options that are available to us to promote more just, more fair, more God-honoring systems. Lord, we ask that you would give us the wisdom and the courage to advocate in appropriate, helpful ways, even in the halls of power, even in political systems, as necessary. Lord, that the systems and structures and politics that can enable and make possible for human trafficking and slavery to continue, that we would speak into that, that those systems might be squelched, that slavery might stop. Lord, we thank you for your grace that not only saves us, and we are so grateful for that, but your grace that empowers us to be salt and to be light in the world that you love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.